Before I get started this week, let me give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a highly respected and heart-centered stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles. She was a burnt-out high school teacher who battled chronic TMS symptoms for years, including fibromyalgia, insomnia, anxiety, depression, chronic fatigue, and digestive issues. Simply put, she gets it, especially the frustration of feeling like you're doing all the right things, implementing all the tools, and still not getting the results that you deserve. If this is you, I encourage you to book a free introductory call to learn about Jeannie's results-driven one-on-one coaching program. In this call, she'll identify specific barriers that are getting in the way of you fully healing and thriving. Jeannie's a ninja at unraveling blocks like subconscious negative beliefs, fearful thought patterns, or unfelt emotions. These are all crucial for living a pain-free life. She gets impressive outcomes with both women and men. And for all you men out there, I know we can sometimes think more effort and logic will fix the problem. Unfortunately, that just doesn't work. Jeannie will walk you through a deeper process that gets underneath the pain for good. Go to jeanniecolwin.com, that's JeannieKulwin.com, to book your free call. On her site, you'll find out a wealth of info, including recordings of her multiple appearances on this podcast. Check her out. She's super cool. JeannieColwin.com. Let's get the show started. Welcome back to the show. June the 13th. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I want to give a shout out to the patrons of the show. If you're interested in supporting this podcast, go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast if you would like to help. We are back with more pelvic health conversation. We've done more of that in the last month and a half than the entire podcast time combined, I think, which is great. So I got in touch with, so there was somebody that I interviewed on this show few months ago that worked with this particular person, Wellbeing with Lindsay, and you can find her on Instagram, Wellbeing_with_Lindsay with an A on Instagram. You can check her out there. She also has a great website to go check out, Wellbeing with Lindsay, again with an A, .com. And what we talk about is kind of her traditional training, but some of the experts in the field that she worked with to sort of pivot her career to start getting into more nervous system work and talking about lifestyle changes and overall being an expert in pelvic health. And so this is a really good perspective. I really enjoyed this interview. It's felt like we recorded this years ago, but I think it's been about 6 weeks since Lindsay and I had recorded this. It was great having her on the show. Without further ado, here is myself and Wellbeing with Lindsay. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. I had a guest on a few months ago, who had worked with the person that's on the line with me right now. You may know her as Wellbeing with Lindsay, but this is Lindsay from Columbus, Ohio. Lindsay, are you there?
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Let me give you a quick apology. You and I were talking about getting this thing scheduled, and then it got buried in my messages on Instagram. And then one day, maybe a week and a half ago, I was sitting there going, oh, I never actually sent over times. I think I asked you for a time zone or something and then didn't actually send over any times to do
it
this.
It happens.
It does. And almost all the time, I always have, like, when I log in Instagram, that upper right-hand corner, it always has like a three or a four, you know, three or four messages to attend to. And I'm always like, oh, I'll get to it. And then, you know, a month goes by and I haven't actually tended to it. So thanks for being
here.
That's
fair. Regardless. Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess just initially, let's kind of talk about, we don't have to say who the guest was that was on, but that person had went to you with pelvic health issues or pelvic health problems, which is interesting because, and I'm going to separate these interviews by a couple of weeks, but I interviewed a male pelvic health specialist just a couple of days ago, and this podcast has been on for 7 years. I bet pelvic health has been mentioned fewer than five times. And now there are
there's
a half dozen interviews that have come up in the last few weeks about this topic specifically. So maybe there's something to that. Maybe there's not. But give us the Lindsay story.
Yeah. So I have a background as an occupational therapist. I've worked as a pelvic floor therapist. I have owned my own in-person practice. And then over the past couple of years, kind of transitioned to virtual pelvic health coaching, which is where I worked with the client that you interviewed. Since then, I've also branched into stress management coaching because just understanding the whole mind-body experience and how our stress, how our emotions, how our nervous system greatly impacts what's happening in our body, right? And I think a lot of my passion for this work comes from my own experience. I dealt with chronic SI joint pain for about 7 years and did all of the quote unquote right things, right? I went to multiple rounds of physical therapy. I had imaging done. I went to chiropractors. I went to physicians, and nothing worked until I stumbled across a coach that was doing mind body work, and I was like, sure, let's give it a try. And
How long ago was this?
yeah, that was a few years ago at this point.
And was this before you were, you were trained in OT and you were working in a clinic and things like that? Like, was this all before that? Like, did this predate that and this is just a
No, this
coincidence?
is
This is
after.
after. Okay, so interesting. So, you went to school, you were trained on physical medicine. I'm just curious because I'm so if you and I were having this conversation 10 or 20 years ago, the whole concept of mind-body health was certainly out there because the books ex had existed in the 80s and the 70s, actually, I think. And it's continued to become more popularized over time, but it's still quite taboo. So was this a discussion in your training at all? Like, did this stuff come up even on the peripheral? Hey, we're going to talk about it for an hour and then we're never going to talk about it again.
Not that I recall, honestly, or if it was, I feel like it was usually more in terms of like, oh, like if you feel anxious, you can appreciate that with some digestive upset. Or, but it was never with regard to like physical symptoms, like pain. Never. So it was a very
Interesting.
new concept to me.
And as you were, how did you, who brought you across to who, the mind body bridge, or who made this suggestion to you, or how did it come to your peripheral?
I think I just stumbled across this person on Instagram.
Okay. Wow. All right.
So, like, gotta love social media,
Sometimes it
right?
gives you exactly what you want, and sometimes it gives you exactly what you shouldn't even see, you know.
Exactly. But it was clearly life-changing from like my own perspective, right? I was able to get out of pain, but then also just like from a career perspective, very life-changing and paradigm shifting to then go through a bunch of training, so that I could gain those skills to help other people. So, I've worked with, taken a couple of courses under Dr. Howard Schubiner, and Charlie Merrill. So it's been really, really fascinating.
I'm always curious to, and expand upon this as much as you want, but somebody that is so trained in the physical realm and then suddenly kind of you said a paradigm shift, suddenly has this change in perspective. Was there any I'm going to put my psychotherapist hat on. Was there any cognitive dissonance in that part of it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And there was, I think very much I was having a hard time for a while, because a lot of times I feel like in the physical medicine world, you hear like, well, a muscle is tense, like the tense muscle is creating the pain, right? Which, like, then when you're learning mind body work, you're like, well, that's not necessarily the case, right? And so I was having a hard time. I'm like, okay, but I'm still seeing tension creating functional issues like with the pelvic floor. And so once I kind of separated the two out as like, okay, there's this pain sphere, but then there's like the how the body is functioning sphere, and those can be a little bit separate, if that makes sense.
It does. And this period of time, this like transformation for you as a professional, what sort of like, if someone were to have come in with a, with a pelvic floor issue 5 years ago, like before you had kind of dove into the world of the mind body stuff and worked with Charlie and worked with Dr. Schubiner and things like that, what might be some attributed reasons for somebody's pain or dysfunction? in the physical realm? Like what were you kind of just, you know, throw out a couple, what are some of the reasons that those fall under?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times, especially when you're thinking about the pelvic floor, it's going to be really tense muscles, going to be postural issues. It's going to be if you are pregnant, like pregnancy related physical changes. If you're postpartum, it's going to be, you know, maybe core weakness or, you know, so just kind of all of the traditional physical reasons, right? But even before I started kind of diving into this field, I kept coming to this, you know, conclusion that I'm like, okay, but I have clients that come in with the same complaint of pain. One of them has super tense muscles and the other doesn't.
Yeah.
So it's like, it can't just be muscular. Like, right. This doesn't make sense.
Well, and what's the, one of the things that I'm wondering, is, and I didn't have, you know, when I was going through, this is like a sensitive time per year, because for me, the spring of 2017 was really sort of my apex of symptomatology. And so right now on like my Time Hop app and, when Facebook has the, what is it called? On this day. And so I'm getting all these reminders about things from 7 years ago. And it's kind of like there's this really bad period of time from like mid-January of 2017 until June of 2017. So I'm in the thick of it, right? 7 years ago. And I would get that reasoning from chiropractors or PTs or whatever that would say, oh, well, it's tight muscles or it's this or it's that. And the next logical question for me should have been, well, but why are they tight? So, but I never asked, right? You, as somebody who's trained in this stuff, what could be, and there isn't, is an acceptable answer, but what could be the reasons for just sort of, you know, arbitrarily tight muscles in the pelvic floor for people?
Yeah, I mean, like knowing what I know now, right, especially I feel like females tend to hold a lot of emotional stress in their hips, their low back, their pelvic floor. I think for females, again, from like a societal perspective, where a lot of us have body image issues. And so we've been told from a young age to like suck our stomach in, and that is going to generate excess tension in the lower abs, which is going to contribute to tension in the pelvic floor. Any sort of like history of sexual trauma or even maybe medical trauma in the area can lead to sustained tension or guarding. You know, maybe past injuries to the pelvis or the hip, because all of those muscles are interconnected, right? Yeah. So a lot of times the pelvic floor specifically will, I like to call the pelvic floor is often the victim of what's happening elsewhere in your body. Mm-hmm. So it likes to pick up the slack when other things are not functioning optimally. And so then those muscles tend to get more tense.
Yeah. 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 maybe we'll come back to this, but one of the things I would be curious to know, if you're comfortable talking about it or whatever, one of the books or people that are in this space that I've always been really fascinated with is like Louise Hay. And a lot of what she talked about in her books was around like, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically somebody having a particular issue that would tie to a certain part of the body or pain part of the body. Mm-hmm. And so, is there some kind of commonality with, like you had mentioned, like a lot of women hold tension in that part of the body. Is there some kind of a commonality in like backgrounds of, you know, maybe shared traumas that some of these females have, or is it just, that's just a place biologically that a lot of women tend to hold tension and that's that?
I can't say, like, sure, there have been some similarities, in background, you know, maybe like if you grew up in a household that was maybe not open with any sort of sexual education, right? Or like that is very, very taboo. I feel like that then tends to be a common client base where they might end up having painful sex. But otherwise, I haven't necessarily found common themes, but I do think from like an emotional and a mental health perspective, I think a lot of the clients tend to have maybe perfectionism behaviors, tend to engage in people pleasing. They have a harsh inner critic. They don't have maybe a lot of resilience to stress in their life.
Okay, I'm going to take a little bit of a left turn because there, and I needed to go find it. There was a post that you have. Well, there's a couple of them that caught my attention. One was around high functioning anxiety. I want to talk about that. And then there was also this post that, like, I didn't see the more button, so I was like, okay, well, give me the like. What are you trying to say? Because all I saw was stop trying to get rid of your anxiety, do this instead. And then I looked and there was no caption because I didn't, my dumbass didn't see the more button. Because then you do go into it. But can you talk about this high functioning anxiety thing? Because I always say that really everybody that is in this space of mind body work, which you're in the thick of it, is speaking literally the same language. They're just saying it in different ways. And so, can you talk about high functioning anxiety and its place in, mind body symptomatology or mind body symptoms that people have?
Yeah, and so, I think like the maybe struggle with high functioning anxiety or that term, right, is that it's not a recognized diagnosis, right? I think it's just a phrase that is used to describe a collection of symptoms, for lack of a better word, right? Like it's not the same thing as like a generalized anxiety disorder. So really with high functioning anxiety, the idea behind it is that on the outside to other people, you appear very put together, right? You appear driven. You are someone who is dependable. You're supportive to others, right? A lot of people look up to you. You are getting everything done. You're productive. But then on the inside, you're kind of a hot mess. Like, you maybe feel anxious all the time. And instead of, avoiding things that make you anxious, like it's almost like your way to cope with the anxiety is to just push through, to push yourself harder, to do more, to try to be perfect, to make other people happy. Right? Does that make
It
sense?
does, yep.
Yeah. So, I think, before I even had ever heard the term like high functioning anxiety, when I was first learning about TMS and mind body syndrome or whatever you want to call it, right? Like those were kind of the classic behaviors that you see as being really common for people that get this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's I feel like this kind of ties into because Dr. Sarno would always talk about kind of the age of responsibility between 30 and 60, and kind of that correlating a lot with people getting symptoms. And it seems like 30 to 60 is really, I mean, prime time for high functioning anxiety as you're describing it.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, I'm actually seeing it like in some of my clients a lot earlier, and I don't know if some of that is just the nature of the world today and social media. I mean, I think there's just so much more pressure that people are putting on themselves today because they have all this access to see everyone else like living their best life on, they see everyone's highlight reel all the time.
For sure. Okay, so you've transitioned into this kind of mind body space. Talk up, like, take us through or talk about, somebody finds you online or they get a referral to you or they they come to a clinic that you're in or something like that. Can you just kind of run us through how you would typically work with someone? What sort of things are you looking for? What sort of character, personality traits does a person tend to have that you work with? Kind of give us the skinny on you and the work that you do, and maybe how it's different or how it's impactful versus traditional other routes that they've gone.
So I usually feel like when people come to me virtually, they've tried already the more traditional routes, right? They've tried more traditional physical therapy. They've tried more traditional like chiropractic care. I've even worked with people who've had rounds of injections for their pain, and it hasn't worked. So usually they're coming to me knowing already that I'm doing something a little bit different. They've recognized that, like, okay, there's clearly another component to this that's missing, which is nice because sometimes, if someone were to come to my in-person clinic just, out of the blue with pain, it's not always easy to just present the idea of mind-body work immediately, right? Like, you kind of have to, like, ease your way in, essentially. But typically, like I said, people kind of have this awareness that this is what we're going to work on. And so usually I like to dive right into kind of, what is your life like right now? Like, tell me everything, like how you're functioning. Tell me about your emotional health. Tell me all about your stress. What does your day look like? I really just like to get a good picture of, like, how are you living? That can kind of usually immediately give me some quick things that we could start addressing. I always provide a lot of, like, pain science education, right? Because I feel like more often than not, people are not getting that, especially with the traditional route. So, explain, like, what pain is, how your nervous system is working, why, when your nervous system is kind of constantly in the survival mode, it might be sending this pain alarm signal all the time. So we do a lot of education at first. And then from there, it really kind of depends on, like, where the person is at with their pain. So if they're having higher levels of pain, really, I'm going to be working on how can we calm that with, like, nervous system work, right? How can we calm the alarm? And then once it's at a more mid to lower level, then we'll get into the pain reprocessing techniques with somatic tracking and all of that type of work.
Is it, there's not going to be a perfect answer for this, so don't try and find one. But is there a particular amount, because it's not prescriptive, that's why it's such a tough question to ask, but also to answer. But is there a particular amount of time that this seems to take to really, I would imagine by the time that people get to you now, just the nature of what you do and what your specialty is and what you're known for, that these people are probably at least somewhat bought into like this being a mind-body problem and not that it's a tight arbitrary muscles because of some kind of thing or some kind of thing a few years ago or whatever. There are probably people that sort of understand this. Even so, there has to be some resistance. So how much of
100%.
that kind of prep work do you have to have, and how much doubt do you encounter with people that come to you at this point?
It really varies by the person, right? Because someone can come in and be completely sold, and then a couple of weeks in, if they're not seeing maybe results as quickly as they wanted, because we all want a quick fix, right? Like, human nature. Then a lot of times doubt will creep in. I also notice doubt creeping in when you have ups and downs, which I always try to tell my clients from the beginning, like, this is normal. Like, you are probably going to have a flare. You are probably going to still experience some pain. Like, we're going to have ups and downs. It would be amazing if you don't. But I kind of try to set the stage so that they're not disappointed and then being like, well, it doesn't work when that happens, right?
What's the place that you need to get them? Like, what's kind of the end goal for you in terms of like, where's a frame of mind that a client needs to be of yours where they can kind of do this on their own and they sort of become self-sustaining in that regard? Like, is there something you can point to where it's kind of a benchmark where, they've got a hold of this thing and they understand and they've got it and they can do this. And continue, even if they have symptoms, it's not a freak out, like panic button, that kind of thing.
I mean, I think kind of like just exactly what you said. Like, if a client is at a point where they don't love having a pain flare, but it doesn't send them into a panic. It's, they feel confident that they know what to do. If and when they have one, they also have an understanding of what they need to do, like how they need to change their lifestyle just to support their mental health
Yeah.
and therefore physical health, right? That's really where I like to get them, is to a point where they feel comfortable with kind of both of those things. Like, I know what I need to be doing lifestyle wise, and I have all of the tools, and I feel comfortable even if I do get a pain flare.
Yeah. What's kind of your favorite one or two, your favorite couple of tools in the toolkit now for not like a maintenance plan's not the right way that I'm thinking about it, but you have somebody you've worked with for a while, maybe you still sort of see them, once a month or once every couple of months, or like something that's not like, hey, we're in the thick of it, this is like danger zone territory, I'm trying to just get them to buy in, but somebody that's past that. What are a couple of the tools in the toolkit that you like the best as sort of your go-tos for people if they do start to re-encounter symptoms of some kind?
Kind of, again, kind of depends on the person, but a question I always kind of like to ask them is like, what are your symptoms? What are your symptoms telling you? Like, are they telling you something? Are they like, what message do you think they're sending you? But also, what could you potentially be gaining from having your symptoms right now? Because
Interesting.
that like really flips the perspective, right? Because like, let's say if you're in the throes of back pain, like, and you've really been, burning the candle at both ends, like maybe this is allowing you to rest
Yeah.
when you wouldn't have otherwise done so.
How offended do
But I
people
feel
get
like,
when you ask or suggest that?
usually if they've been with me, like if we're farther along, they don't usually get offended. Like
Yeah.
it's definitely not a question I'd be asking early
Yeah,
on.
yeah, yeah. The secondary gain question. Whew, like I can only imagine some of the I feel like that could get a slap in the face by some people. I don't know.
And definitely you have to know your audience, right? So I don't ask everyone that question. But I also like kind of bringing around like some inner child stuff too, right? Because I think sometimes, again, like even if you know the score, you know what to do, you still get that fear response when your pain comes on. And so instead of like always going into fix it mode, right, which we know can just further and make the pain response continue, like think about yourself as a little kid and they're scared. What do they need right now? What can you give them? Right. And usually that's another helpful way to just kind of reframe, like, okay, I need to be more supportive to myself. I need to be kinder to myself. Like, maybe I just need a freaking hug right now,
Yeah.
right? Does that make
It
sense?
does. Yeah. We're coming up to the end here. Maybe one thing that would be great for people to know is well, A, how do people get in touch with you? Well, yeah, maybe we'll just start there. How do people get in touch with you? Can people work with you? I know you had said that you kind of moved to all being online at some point, but people listen to this, they like what they hear. How can they get in touch with you? Who do you help? What's your wait list like if there is one, that kind of stuff.
So from like a pelvic pain perspective, I am working as a pelvic health coach with your postpartum PT, which we can put in the show notes. So, you can just apply to work and there's availability right now. So that would be the best way to work with me if you're dealing with any sort of like chronic pelvic pain and you want to address things from this type of perspective. And then if you're not really like dealing with pain, but you have stress that you need to do something about, I do stress management coaching, and that's with my Wellbeing with Lindsay account.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Lindsay, thanks for being here. When we end the interview, don't hang up. But thank you so much for being here. And let's keep in touch.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.